that God said to Jonah, you go to Nineveh. And you know that Jonah said, I'm not going there, and decided to go to Joppa instead. So he boarded a sailing ship, or maybe it was a fishing ship, and during a storm, the sailor just picked him up and threw him overboard. And as he fell down, he was swallowed by a great fish. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to God. When I was in trouble, I prayed, and God listened to me. From deep in the world of the dead, I begged for help, and God answered my prayer. I was thrown down to the bottom of the sea. The water was churning all around. I was completely covered by mighty waves, and I thought I was swept away from divine sight. I was almost drowned by the swirling waters. Seaweed had wrapped around my head. I had sunk below the mountains, even those beneath the sea. I knew that forever I'd be a prisoner. But God rescued me. God rescued me from that pit. When my life was slipping away, I remembered God. And God heard my prayers. And the book has a good ending. I hope you'll read it.
Good morning. I know I say it most Sundays, but I genuinely mean it. It is a pleasure to have you here with us this morning. My message this morning is entitled Mental Health Realities and the Benefits of Spirituality. So far this year, in the U.S., there have been more mass shootings than the number of deaths. That's right. More than one a day. And any time that there is a mass shooting in America, there is a reasonably good chance that one of the deflection techniques that will be used to keep us from focusing on the very necessary and very reasonable idea of gun control, not gun elimination, but reasonable gun control, is the question of whether or not the shooter had some form of a mental disability. Even though it tends not to be, it should be somewhat surprising that when this does happen, very few of us hear much about becoming more informed and more aware about mental health. Truthfully, it's a sad statement. It's a sad statement on the issue of mental health in the U.S. Despite the fact that 1 in 5 American adults experience a mental health issue, despite the fact that 1 in 10 young people experience a period of major depression, despite the fact that 1 in 25 Americans live with a serious mental illness such as schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, or major depression, we are either afraid or reluctant to, or maybe just indifferent about, talking about mental health. Which is strange. Just strange when you consider that the numbers I just shared alone are enough to have someone make it clear that we have someone in our lives that is dealing with a serious mental health issue. This aversion to talk about mental health may be particularly true in spiritual communities. I'm not sure it's because mental health wasn't a concept when most religious sacred texts were written, or if it's too uncomfortable to be talked about in polite company, or if it's something altogether different. I'm not sure. What I do know is that in general, we just don't talk about mental health much. Now, honestly, if I'm being completely even-handed about this, we also tend to not talk much about it in polite society in general. So to the seemingly popular bashing of spiritual communities for not talking about spiritual health is truthfully, it's not very fair at all. The reality is that most people, in most places, tend to avoid talking about mental health. Now, for a variety of reasons, that is an unfortunate reality. One of those reasons is related to spirituality, and we're going to get to that in just a few minutes. But first, I'd like to look briefly at one of the other reasons that it is unfortunate. The reason is the misinformation that is out there that could be corrected by having more open conversations about mental health. Now, the first piece of misinformation I'd like to talk about is very important when you consider the rash of shooting violence in the U.S. As I mentioned earlier, frequently those covering the shootings very quickly begin to suggest that the shooter may have had a mental health issue. And you may have noticed that this is particularly true when they are white. The implication here is that people who struggle with mental health, and mental health issues, are naturally somehow more violent than the rest of normal society. Nothing could be further from the truth. And I can't help but believe that if we talk about mental health with the same openness that we tend to talk about other illnesses, more society would be aware of it. But the reality is that the vast majority of people with mental health problems are no more likely to be violent than anyone else. But most people with mental illnesses are not violent, and only something like 3-5% of the individuals who participate in violent acts are living with a serious mental illness. And in fact, people with mental illnesses are over 10 times more likely to be victims of violent crime than the general population. Let me say that again. People with severe mental illnesses are over 10 times more likely to be victims of violent crime than the general population. Another piece of misinformation about mental health that is frequently assumed by folks who are less informed about it is the belief that personal weakness or character flaws cause mental health problems. Put differently, it's the false idea that people with mental health problems can just snap out of it if they try hard enough. The reality is, mental health problems have nothing to do with being lazy or weak. And many people need help to get better. Many factors contribute to mental health problems, including biological factors such as genes, physical illness, injury, brain chemistry, life experiences such as trauma or history of abuse, a family history of mental health problems. As I mentioned, 1 in 5 American adults experienced a mental health issue. 1 in 10 young Americans experienced a period of major depression. 1 in 25 Americans live with a serious mental issue such as schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, major depression. You probably know someone with a mental health problem and don't even realize it because many people with mental health problems are highly active and productive members of our communities. As a matter of fact, I guarantee you that you know someone with a mental illness. I mean, just look at the folks sitting next to you. But seriously, I guarantee you that you know someone with a mental health issue. because you know me. I have major depressive disorder and mild anxiety disorder. Although some days I wonder why they call it mild, because it feels a lot worse. But for many folks, this is a surprise. Not only because I've managed, for the most part, to be a highly functioning and productive person, despite suffering from major depressive disorder, but also because we tend to think of ministers as mentally and emotionally even killed. But the sad reality is that 1 in 4 ministers, 1 in 4, have struggled with or are currently struggling with mental illness. Now, what that means for me most days is that I will probably struggle with feeling overwhelmed by something. Frequently for me, it's something that might have a strong emotional component, but it can be something as simple as calling someone that I don't know. And while to some degree, we all deal with feeling overwhelmed by something on a nearly daily basis, major depressive disorder and anxiety disorder can sort of amplify those feelings to the point of basically shutting a person down. My struggle, the struggle for those with similar diagnoses, is, to manage the anxiety and the depression well enough that it doesn't have to have a heavy impact on my life. But therapy and medication have helped me immensely with that. Except when they don't. Because sometimes they don't. Sometimes the darkness wins out. You begin to shut down and withdraw. Anxiety wraps itself around your head and around your heart. And most things seem like they're either too overwhelming or just not worth it. Makes no sense at all. I suspect it's a bit like Jonah felt when he tried to express his situation in today's scripture. You know, frequently you even intellectually recognize the ridiculousness of it all. The feeling remains. And it tends to control you until it finally is over. I have also experienced having someone in my life attempt suicide multiple times because of mental illness. I've had a person I knew well self-medicate to the point of me needing to go over to their house and clean the bus, including taking business out from under their fingernails, checking into the behavioral health clinic. I've actually spent weeks visiting my own child in that same clinic. And I've even served as the chairman of the board for the Presbyterian Counseling Center. Now, I share all of that to say I'm very familiar with mental health issues. Frankly, I'm more familiar than I ever wanted to be. And that is a big part of why the topic is so important to me. It's also one of the many reasons that spirituality is also important to me. So let me explain that. Let's do a little history first. Historically, there's been a notable disagreement and conflict even between psychiatry and spirituality. As psychiatry was emerging as a field of study, as a discipline, religion was labeled as problematic. See, in 1907, Sigmund Freud described religion as a universal obsessional neurosis. Pretty strong words. Freud's stance was widely adopted then by other psychologists, which further ensured psychiatry's position as mostly unfriendly to religion, which caused many clergy to perceive psychiatry as anti-Christian and therefore kind of dangerous. Now, ultimately, the antagonism between psychiatry and religion persisted through most of the 20th century. But in the last 30 years or so, American psychiatry has evolved towards a sort of more positive and respective stance about religion and spirituality. And that's partly due because of an increased appreciation for the significance of a patient's culture, as well as an increasing evidence that religion and spirituality can have beneficial effects in mental health. The nutrient in psychology is so strong that in 2011, about 79% of U.S. medical schools offered some variation of spirituality in their curriculum. And of those, 75% of the schools required medical students to take at least one course in spirituality. Well, for me, that begs the question, what are some of these beneficial effects that spirituality can have on healthcare or mental health? But research has shown that spirituality tends to have a positive influence on patients' overall quality of life. As a matter of fact, spirituality has been associated with lower levels of depression symptoms, fewer symptoms of post-traumatic stress, fewer eating disorder symptoms, fewer negative symptoms of schizophrenia, less perceived stress, lower rates of suicide, and less personality symptoms. Studies also have shown that, not so surprisingly, positive religious coping methods like spiritual support, positive religious reframing of stressors, and spiritual connectedness are significantly connected with and predictive of better mental health and psychological well-being. Specifically, positive religious coping correlates with reductions in depression and anxiety. And not only that, individuals suffering from mental illness appear to benefit from being surrounded by a supportive religious community. Attending religious services regularly has been shown to protect against major depression and is associated with a decreased suicide rate. An additional greater frequency of religious attendance correlates with less distress and negative life events. You know, the reality simply is that study after study has shown that spiritual beliefs and practices may help people to better cope with stressful life circumstances and give them comfort, meaning a sense of control and hope. Spiritual involvement correlates with better mental health in the areas of suicide, depression, substance abuse. Belief in some form of God, but not necessarily a religious affiliation, has been associated with better psychiatric treatment outcomes. Individuals with a positive and accepting image of God demonstrate fewer anxiety and depressive symptoms. Similarly, belief in a benevolent God is associated with less social anxiety, paranoia, obsession, and compulsion. Because of my own diagnosis and my life experiences of mental illness, mental health is a really important topic to me. I am very interested in understanding what tools best help and manage mental health. As a matter of fact, in my personal life, obviously this is essential. And in truth, there are many effective tools in managing mental health issues. As a person who suffers from mental health illness, as a minister, and considering the long adversarial relationship between psychology and spirituality, I am thrilled to see academic research investigating the relationship between mental health and spirituality. I hope I hope that it encourages many of us to recognize the mental health benefits of this community. And at the very least, I hope it encourages us to be more open and comfortable with talking about mental health, and as a result, make this spiritual community an even better place than it already is for the 1 in 5 people in the U.S. that have experienced a mental health issue, just like me. Are there those who have thoughts or questions that they'd like to share about the scripture, the message, or just the topic in general? Come where you are
ready. First of all, thank you for your honesty. There is such a stigma sometimes attached. I mean, I used to have severe anxiety attacks, and but the doctor once told me I had Southern Woman Syndrome, which is also nice. Just so nice, I couldn't, you know, but anyway.
Right.
That being said, you know, I still have some of that. I feel the overwhelming aspect of it. But I know I'm an extrovert, introvert, and I will go inward. And so many people with mental illness will go inward. And I think it's so important that, I know when I'm not involved in the spiritual community, I get lost in my own thoughts. And they're not really good. That's not a nice town to be in. But I would suggest that when we know of someone like that, that we reach out to them. Because I had a friend that was very, very depressed, and he would go in and we couldn't see him or hear from him forever. And so I think it's just so important that we reach out to those people. And I know I have to turn my thoughts around. I am, by being in Italy for so many years and coming here and other churches, I know that I've learned how to take those thoughts that's in my head and turn them around to affirmations of something else. And I just think it's important that we reach out and we be honest with each other about it.
Thank you. I think it's important how you reach out to other people. A lot of people come in and try to fix the person in the midst of a rainstorm. And my say is, don't come in and try to fix the rainstorm. Tell them what's going on. Sit there with them. You know, nobody's going to have to speak. Just say, here, let me hold on.
When I was a teenager, I came home all messed up. My dad and I had a fight. And he said, you're killing yourself slowly and take this down. Why don't you just go do yourself in? And I went down the driveway. I was going to jump off the bridge. And my mom stopped me and she said, you know, your father felt like killing himself and he couldn't get a job and we were broke and he wanted to get the insurance. And look at all the good times he's had since then. Go sleep it off. You know, you put everything else off till tomorrow. You can kill yourself tomorrow if you still feel like it. So I've been putting it off ever since.
That is certainly an unusual road.
When it worked for you, we're glad. I'm still here. And one more thing. I fell apart in 04 and chest pains, and I cried most of it in bed for, you know, my wife said, get help or I'm leaving you. And my sister came and took me to a shrink, and after asking me a few questions, I got my name right, but everything else was clinical depression, you know. And he said, well, people tell me I lost my job and I lost my wife, so I'm depressed. No, you lost them because you were depressed. You know, and then get help. You know, I did, and yes. And again, I'm still here.
Yay!
Harry and I both know quite a few people that have mental issues. And one of the common themes we see is their inability to recognize that we've got said mental issues.
Sure.
And without doing that, then you can't see the tools or the help out there to try to heal them. And it just amplifies the struggles of dealing with it, period.
It is very difficult. And when you run across someone who might be in that situation, the best thing to do is be present with them and not say, oh, you have an issue that we've got to fix it. And you just be present with them in their lives. And that's the beginning of a relationship.
that can make a difference in the long run. Please.
I just want to say thank you for your subject because it's.
Service this morning and asked him on Wednesday night when we have a potluck dinner if he would be willing to share and talk with us as a group. He said yes. So
feel free, I was going to say the same thing, feel free after to come join us Wednesday night. Cover dishes at 6, it's all just fun fellowship, but then once we wrap up, I'll grab a table and those are interested, we can gather around and have more talks about mental illness, and misconceptions, our questions, and even how spiritual communities impact it positively.
Yes, Mark. Thank you for your vulnerability and for bringing this out. I have a couple of things to say.
Sure.
I'm so proud of the psychiatric community that is standing up to people who label these shooters as mentally ill. The psychiatric community is pushing back against that because, as you said, people with mental illness are no more violent than anyone else. So I have that to say. And I also wanted to challenge your information that 1 in 5, because it's 1 in 5 who seek treatment who are counted, but there are innumerable people who did not, because of stigma or money or lack of insurance or whatever, they did not consider themselves for treatment. So there are many people who suffer exclusively, I will say, with mental health issues. I've been one of those myself, and I'm so glad that you brought in the medication, the therapy, and the spirituality as treatment. Thank you.
Thank you for both those thoughts. Very well made. David. And now we're going to let that be the last one.
No pressure.
No pressure, David. Very good. I feel like I don't want to talk. I don't know.
Well, I'm in a sense, I'll follow up on some of the previous speakers because my wife came from a Pentecostal holiness background and her brother became a Pentecostal holiness, holiness minister, guy in Pentecostal holiness woman, and he had severe mental depression. Nobody would help him with it. They all said he had to let Jesus help him. So he found a life of living in the house and took his own life. So he could get home, find a situation where you needed a support group and you couldn't get it.
Another fine example of why it's so important for these to be open discussions to make people more aware of that it's very common and that you, just like if you bring an army, you go into the system that's required.
If you want to read some things about spirituality and religion, you might try some of C.G. Jung's works. He's written several books about Christianity and the images that are in most or many religions. First of all, I leave you with the statement over his office door. I wish I could do it in Latin, but I'll do it in English. Called or not called, God is present.